Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. David said, I was glad when he said, first going to the house of the Lord. He knew, no matter what confronts him there, if he can just get a hold of the horn of the altar, or problem with his soul, he knew that the Lord would be there for him. So that's how the church will be today. So the Bible says, the early church, despite all the persecution and so forth, how they will gather together at the end of the day unto their own. And it will relate all the kind of experiences, persecution and so forth. And they will lift all their voices to the Lord. And the Holy Ghost will fall upon them all over again. A fresh oil, a fresh anointing. That's how it ought to be in every side of the children of the Lord. So this morning we thank you for the singing, praising the Lord, our testimony of joining masses. And we give you praise and glory. What a joyful thing to be together, brethren, getting together in unity. And so it is here this morning we believe God. Lord, as we turn the pages of the world, we know you are the author thereof, Lord. We just rely on you to bless us as we read your word. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. See? One of the enemies of mankind. I want to talk about it this morning by the grace of God. This enemy has been with man since the day of the fall. You know? And at the age ends, it's like no other time in the history of the world. So, before he knew hatred, meaning man. Before man knew hatred, before he knew strife, before he knew jealousy, man had fear. That's what the Bible says. The first time Adam felt the paralyzing, terrifying, and tormenting effect of fear was when he sinned. So this morning, deliverance from fear is the message. Deliverance from fear. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. When the first experience, the paralyzing, terrifying, tormenting effect of fear in Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard a voice in the garden, and I was afraid. There you go. The beginning of fear. Because I was naked, and I hid myself. So he was afraid. That is how prayer entered into the race. Because of sin. Today, fear has entered into almost every human activity. And the devil is behind it all. After all, who caused the fall? Who is the source? What is the source? The devil and so forth, that you know, is here at work. So today, every human activity, Satan has put fear in there. I can name a few of them. They have a catalog of fear. They call them phobia. And I put a few of them here. They have acrophobia, fear of height. They have aerophobia, fear of flying. Androphobia, fear of men. Atelophobia, fear of imperfection. Anti-shyphobia, fear of failure. What if I fail? If I go that enterprise, you know, or you know, or I'm not perfect. Fear of atheophobia, they call it, and so on. They have demonophobia, fear of demons. They have a fear of making decisions. Decidophobia, they call it. They have a fear of snakes. Ophidophobia. Praise God, I used to be afraid of snakes. I killed one this morning, actually, really. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I used to be afraid of them and so forth. And I was just walking around the yard this morning, and I'm just looking around and so on. Right along the fence, I just like, you just hold there and so on. You know, and I just kill it and try across the fence and so forth. And Satan says, since your Lord says you can handle snakes, I say, Satan, it is written, thou shalt not tell the Lord thy God.
Amen.
See? I got you to kill that snake, you know. Just kill it. crowd after the thing, he can see to people, he put in people's mouth and something like that. Anyway, they have fear of snakes and something like that, you know. And they have fear for every other kind of thing. They have fear of witches and witchcraft. They call it ophidiophobia, all kind of name in there. They have fear of accidents, they call it, all kind of names, yeah. They have fear of being without your mobile phone. That's a new one now. See, they don't have their mobile phone, they are afraid, that's what, you know. Anyway, Satan has infiltrated every woman and therefore with fear, you know. But there is deliverance in the Lord. So, sin brought fear into the human race. And the only basic cure for fear is righteousness. See? And the Lord, Jesus Christ, is that righteous one. We are told in 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. There he goes. And sanctification and redemption. Only when you know that you are righteous in Christ, the Lord himself is the cure for fear, actually, you know. When you know you're standing with the Lord Jesus Christ and so that you have been made righteous, that he that knew no sin was made sin for you and I, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that's our little reason. The real cure for fear is the Lord Jesus Christ, and know who you are in him. Of all the fear, I just name a few, there are tons and tons of fears out there. But look at David and so on. In Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fear. No matter what your fear may be today or tomorrow, the Lord is there to deliver you from all of them. You know, all of them. The Lord is there for you and I, to deliver you and I. Not only, are we told who is the righteous one, who he is in the Lord Jesus, right? But, what he does, he delivers from all fear. That's our Lord has done that, you know. No matter what you encounter today or tomorrow and so forth, the Lord is always there for you. So, and that is our goal, really. To be delivered from all fear. God wants us to be fearless. Absolutely. The righteous shall be as bold as the lion. Solomon wrote in his by the Holy Ghost, so as bold as a lion. So fear is never really of the Lord. It came from the devil. Actually, the origin of it, after the fall of man, right, then he became afraid, you know. So anyway, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist and so forth, that, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesied concerning our Lord Jesus in Luke 1:68, you know, talking about the Lord delivering from fear, right? I'd like to read part of the prophecy to you. Zechariah gave, 68 of Luke 1. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, he said, and from the hand of all that hate us. Jump to verse 74 and 75. That he will grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, look at this one, might serve him without fear all the days of our life. That is the will of God. Serving the Lord without fear all the days of our life. That's what he desire came to do. I shall let you know. And we serve him without fear all the days of our life. Almost every prophet. Now, watch it now. Even the major prophet, I shall let you know, almost every prophet of God sent on an unpopular or dangerous mission was forewarned by God about the dangers of fear. Let's name a few of them. So, I see. So, Jeremiah, God said this. Whatever I say about them today, it's about you too. This promise is to you, this command is to you today, because all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are here and they are in it to the glory of God. Jeremiah 1:8. Be not afraid, of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. So you can put your name there today. If God sent you on an errand to do anything, that word is for you today. You know, not just for Jeremiah only and some of that, you know. It's for you too. And all that God, you know, will call us for that, you know. So Ezekiel, I'm saying that all the major prophets that God called, he has to really tell them that fear, how not to be afraid. That's how it is. And today, he's telling you the same thing today. And the days to come, all the days of our life, to be free of fear. So Ezekiel, God said in Ezekiel 3:9, as an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. If you are looking at what adamant means, adamant is a very hard or impenetrable stone, a name given to the diamond and other extremely hard stones and so on, very, very hard. And flint, of course, flint is a hard gray rock that is a subspecific of quartz, you know. So God is saying to him, tell Ezekiel, not to be to be moved by their hard expression. So Ezekiel, Jeremiah, God telling them and so forth, and their commission and so on, not to be afraid and so on, that, you know. And even to Joshua, he has worked with Moses for how many years? I don't know, almost 40 years now, nearly the promised land now, you know. God has encouraged him about fear and to put away fear. No, I saw that in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord said unto him, and that's for you and me today, you know, one night, have not I commanded thee, be stronger and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Like I said, that's for you and me today. God's word is alive. Last Sunday, right? God's word is alive. God's word is infallible. Last Sunday. God's word is of great integrity, you know. Last Sunday, I know that, you know. Even Job had his problems with fear. I believe one of the most ancient scripts in scripture. Fear was mentioned in the New Universe, Job as well. We are told in Job chapter 1 verse 10 that God made an edge about him and about his house. Look at the protection. And about all that he had and on every side. But what happened? Job. What did he say in Job 3:25? Upon all that God has done for him. Look at what happened to him in Job 3:25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, he said. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. So the literal Hebrew rendering says, I feared a fear and it happened upon me. That is the literal Hebrew translation. He said, I feared a fear and it happened unto me, upon me, instead of another. In other words, Job, in his thought life, in his thinking, this our mind, sucks you and so on. Satan can get a hold of it. Satan can say something to your mind and to your thoughts. So in his thought life, you know, so in his thought life, here is, you know, Job, what he was thinking and so on, that, you know. So, you know, he said that, he saw fearful things happening in his thought life. So, what he had been seeing happened in his thinking and so forth, that, you know, what he was thinking, and he got his mind anchored to these negative things, happened to him, fear and so forth, that, you know. And we are told in Proverbs, 23 verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So be very careful what you hold on to in your mind. You see? Ensure it is good and you will receive good. Always thinking and meditating upon the word of God alone. Satan can drop things in your mind. Give it to Peter at one time and so that, you know, the Lord is built with devil and so on. Satan, get it behind me. You know, oh Lord, I'm going to the cross and so on. Peter meant well, but that is the voice of Satan speaking through the greatest apostle to the Lord and so on, that, you know. You can drop things in people's hearts and so on, that, you know. Be careful what you are thinking. So if it is a wrong thing, not in line with the word of God, dump it. Nobody will come to it later and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so Job, during his prosperity, began to see fear images. His thought life, entertained pictures of disaster. in his thoughts. I can just begin to see his mind right now. From prosperity to poverty. And he received what he saw. You know, he was thinking all those things and that, you know, yeah, God has put all this defense around him, but because of fear, and it happened, you know. So God doesn't want us to be afraid, and he cautioned us, you know, that we should not be afraid as well as, you know. Fear is a spirit, actually, we are told. And it's one of the strongest spirits to overcome by any person. I say it's a spirit, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Or cowardness, if you want. But of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. You know, so fear is a spirit. And God hasn't given that kind of a spirit and so forth. In Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fear again, but the spirit of but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. After defeating fear, you know, one of the strongest spirits you can ever face in this life and on that, you know, throughout the scripture, you know, God is always telling his people, fear not, fear not, fear not, all through. I'm going to mention some of them this morning, so we can go from here, maybe our mind refreshed. Or remind them, if you have not, I know them, which you all know some of them already, and some of that, you know, to be strong in the Lord and not to be afraid. Now, so we see all this problem. Yet, at times, we all have experienced fear. Even including Patriarch Abraham. That's right. You know, even Abraham experienced fear. Let's look at him a little bit more this morning. He's the father of faith, right? God spoke to him in a vision in Genesis chapter 15. I will read the first 5 verses in there. Even Father Abraham, you know that, you know. What was his own fear? We see just in the second as well. 15:1 of Genesis. After this thing, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. See? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. This money, you can put your name there. Whatever is confronting you today or tomorrow, put your name there. It is the word of the living God. After all, we are the children of Abraham by the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So it belongs to you and me. So not just for Abraham alone, it's for all the children of Abraham by faith. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me? Say, I go childless. And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and no one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So begin that chapter as well, as you know. So what is this now? God first began to deal with Abraham when he was 75 years old, right? He was living in the, what they call the Hall of the Chaldeans. That is in Babylon, right? You know. And just Genesis chapter 12 anyway. God has told him that he should come out of the Hall of the Chaldeans. He will show him a land that will be to him and so forth. And he will make him, a great nation out of him. That was God told him. Genesis chapter 12. You know, I don't know that, you know. Now, God gave him all those promises, and he went out. Bible says he went out, even going, not even know where he went. He believed God, he was going out, I don't know that, you know. What Lord has meant to him, that he be a father of a nation, or many nations and so on. And we know that his wife was barren, we know that, throughout all their marriage to that point and so on. Anyway, so, God promised him that eventually Abraham would become a father of multitude of people. So that was God told him when he called him Genesis chapter 12, right? Now, 10 years has passed now in this chapter 15 since Genesis 12. That means 10 years, probably about 65 now. He took a vision for from God to alert Abraham that he was getting into a trap. You know, if you want to, that, you know, by what he was saying, but what his own confession of his mouth. So what trap was that really? Let's look at it as well. Unconsciously, he had been developing a mental image of seeing himself childless, upon God has told him, I will make you a father of many nations. Here is in Genesis chapter 12, but in 15 of Genesis, here is confession, you know, fearful and so forth, you know, mental image of being childless. He was seeing a lizard of Damascus. His Sabbath born in his own house, as is becoming his heir. What was seeing? He saw himself die. That was Abraham was seeing at that time. Abraham was called. And Elisha, evidently, his chief servant, taking over all his many possessions. You know, he has a lot of things. He has herds of cattle, he has gold, he has silver, and servants. Genesis chapter 13 says that. He came out of Egypt with so many things like that, you know. So he was afraid of all these things, that Eliezer will be the one that will inherit all these things and so like that, you know. And twice Abraham told God that he sees this way. This is what I see, God. This is what I see. What did he see? He said, behold, meaning what? See, look, notice, observe. One born in my house is mine here. That is what he saw, you know. He maybe forgot what God told him, but he only saw Elisha being the one that will succeed him and so on. Abraham complained in so many words. I will paraphrase his word. God, you haven't kept your promise and given me a child. It has been 10 years now, and I'm getting older and older every year. I'm paraphrasing what I think he was thinking in his heart. I have mental pictures of being childless. I can paraphrase what Abraham was thinking as well when he told God all those things. But God said in verse 1 of Genesis 15, fear not. What is your fear? You know, fear not, Abraham. And a shield, meaning your present protection. It's your shield too. My shield, your protector and so that, you know. And your shield, he said, meaning your protection and so forth, you know. And God was telling him, your fear is hindering my protection. That's what happened to Job. God has edged all around him and everything like that, but he sees fear. And what he fear happened to him. God can be saying to Abraham, even your own fear is hindering my protection. That shield is hindering it right now. If you keep on fearing, you are going to make a crack in your shield. You know what a shield is all about? Shield is a protection, right? During the war, you know, arrow coming to you, you put a shield and so that, you know. Well, for a shield of faith, right? You know. Anyway, so God was warning him to desist from fear. Don't fear, Abraham. And to you this morning, don't fear. No matter what you are facing, the Lord is there with you, what he's saying and so on that, you know. Anyway, so God said to Abraham, fear not. I am your present protection. I, your exceeding great reward, he said. Your everlasting eternal inheritance. That's who I am to you. That's who is to you this morning. You see? Anyway, so Abraham questioned God. What will you give me since I go childless? That's just how it was, right? Since he was seeing with his eyes, right? Since I go childless, right? Well, fear is something you see, right? He says, seeing I go childless. What about the word of God? He was seeing with his senses. Since I go childless, right? Anyway, so, and fear is something you see. To be delivered from fear, you have to realize that fear enters through your senses, right? Through what you see, what you hear. We shouldn't walk by sight, right? We should walk by faith. Isn't it? The Bible commanded us and told us, you know. So Abraham's statement, seeing I go childless, was his way of saying to God, I can only see what I see. You know? You haven't given me any descendant or any here, you know, I can't see it, you know. He can only see Eliezer. He forgot about the promises of God. How many times God's children, we forget God's promises and we are zeroed in on the thing around us, things our eyes saw, our ears are, all the kind of things and so on. Where about the promises of God, you know? Anyway, Following Abraham's question comes a word of rebuke from the Lord. Verse 4 says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. Eliezer will not be the heir of your house, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be thine heir." God reassured him, right? You can go back to the promise of God when you have doubts in your heart, you know, and see what God said in the original, and then he shall begin to flee from you and so on, that you know. Now, if you have given place to fear in your thought life, in your thinking and so on, and if you have seen mental fear pictures, how do you overcome this fear image that comes to you? How do you overcome this fear? Talking about dealing with fear this morning, you know, how do we do it? So, God Almighty so beautifully said in essence to Abraham, "I want you to replace the fear image with faith picture." You know, now God is telling him, replace what you are seeing with faith picture. You are the father of faith, after all, you know. And, you know, so the admonition is the same as what we are told in Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's right. When you see things around you, negative things, don't let that overcome you. You overcome evil with good. So the way to have permanent freedom from evil is to be willing to replace that evil or that evil habit or evil thought or pattern or evil mental picture with good ones. That's to replace them, right? You know? So, and anyway, you don't just cast out evil. That's just a negative way of doing things. You have to put something good back in there. And that is the positive side of things, really, you know. So notice how God encouraged Abraham to change. It must have been in the night, right? He took him out. He showed him the heaven. He showed him the stars, right? God said, if you can count, he said, look toward heaven or to the sky if you want. And tell, meaning to count the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. That is the way your offering will be, Abraham. So God took him out, and he said, that day, that you see the stars, look at the heaven, look at the stars. If you can count them, that's how multitude, you're going to have multitude of children and so forth. So God told him to start seeing his children as numerous as the stars, you know. Look at the stars, you know, you see your children as numerous as the stars. You can see, you can't even count them in the heavens. Change the mental picture you have now, Abraham. Forget about Eliza, you know, took him out there in the night and so on, you know. Now, can you imagine Abraham struggling to believe for just one child? It's now so that we have multitude of children. That is how God works, right? You cannot limit him. He is unlimited, and so on, you know. We have innumerable children. Struggling to believe for just one child, you know, but God said, not just one. Out of that will come multitude, and so on, you know. So God changed the picture to him. Get your eyes away from Eliza, you know, out of your own power, and out of that will come multitude, you know, of children, Abraham, God told him. Now, so from there, Abraham now changed his way of thinking. Instead of looking at Eliza, I believe each night, he will look at the heaven. Oh, this is how much my children will be. You will have positive thoughts now, you know, and so on. But what happened to Abraham during the day? So that come during the day, there are no stars, right? What will Abraham count now? Well, God gave him something else to count during the day. In the night, I can go and see the stars and build up his faith. That I will have children that this has up there. But what happened during the day? What am I? And that's come. And fear come again. You know what I want to do? God gave him something to count during the day. Sand. Amen? Praise the Lord. God gave him sand to count. Let's write the scripture for that one in Hebrews. In Hebrews, I have that scripture here. So I believe in Hebrews. Let me go there. Yeah, Hebrews 11:12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. so many are the stars of the sky in multitude, and are the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So during the day, Abraham will count the sand. You can count them, right? So I build up his faith, you know. So in the night, he can look at the stars, you know, and build up his faith. God has spoken. And during the day, you know, I look at the sand, and God says, you be like that. And so he begins to overcome the fear of somebody not of his own power, inheriting all that he has ever had. So by faith, Isaac was born and conceived as well, as you know. We know the story. So whenever the fear image came saying he will be childless, he will replace it with faith, the faith image, by believing what God has said and looking at the star or casting the sand and build up his faith. So what are we saying? You have to replace whatever is causing you to be doubtful with the word of God, with the promise of God. God showing the stars, so you begin to build his faith. And there are many stars for you and I. Stars, many of God's promises to counteract anything that makes you to doubt the word of God. So that's what we do. Now, we know fear is one of Satan's strongest tools. Yes, fear is one of Satan's strongest tools. Possibly, more people will be hurled into the lake of fire because of the influence of fear than for any other thing. Well, thank God we are God's children, right? But we have to put it on here, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, you see that one? And the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and so forth. Bible says, we end up in the lake of fire and so forth. And God put the fearful first. I believe it's a divine order. Fear is a horrible thing. It's a terrible emotion. So it's the number one thing. And I believe the Holy Ghost put it there as number one. So anyway, we should get away from fear by getting a hold of the word of God. All throughout the Bible, God has admonished us. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Now, fear is a hindrance. And there are many hindrances in the Christian walk today. But the one thing that single out above all of them is fear. Fear is the greatest hindrance to the life of the Christian. Absolutely so. You know that's why in every place, God's admonition, not only in the Old Testament, you can pick a few of them in the New Testament, how God tells us not to be afraid, and all that, I will touch on that one, in the New Testament, and all that, So anyway, yet the Lord Jesus told us in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, he says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, not only in the Old Testament, not only Jeremiah, not only Ezekiel, not only Joshua, you and me today, even in the New Testament, the same Lord Jesus is telling us not to be afraid and so forth, Now, in the parable of the talents, we know that servant who went and buried the only one talent he got. He went and buried it. Why? Why did he go and bury it? Because of fear. Let me read it to you earlier now. In Matthew 25:24. This wicked man, wicked servant, Bible called him, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. You see that? That's fear. And went and hid thy talent in the earth. No, there thou hast that is thine. You see now? Because of fear. He missed out on his ministry in this life. This man, he did. And the position and reward the Lord intended him to have in the world to come. Because of fear. You see? So he said, I was afraid that he did talent. How many people are very afraid today to go out to what God has told them to do? Also use the skills God has given to them. Fear is a paralyzing, tormenting, right? Bible says fear has torments, right? I wish you just take this money out of that, Anyway, fear was based upon the lie of the enemy. There is no reason for that man to believe that his master was a hard man. Satan told him that lie and he bought it. And he hid the talent and he missed out in this life and in the world to come. His mouth, his own mouth condemned him when he said, I was afraid. And I went ahead that talent. What fear can do? He can make a man to lose in this world and even in the world to come. If he doesn't say he and so on. Let's see the story of the disciples in Matthew 14. The Lord has had a great, you know, gathering of people, fed the thousands and so forth. Sent the disciples, go ahead, you know, on the other side of the lake. He went alone to the Mount of Olives to go and pray all night. Even while he was there, he is always watching his disciples. He knew what was happening. Matthew 14 and so forth. They arose a storm upon the sea, probably like 3 a.m. I believe it is, and so forth. And let me see, Matthew 14, 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. See? Now, but straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. See? Not only to the disciples today, even in our happy walk today with the Lord, I mean, he said the same thing to you and I today. No matter what you face, be not afraid. The Lord is right there with you. Say, I'm with you always to the end of the world. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. A popular story that many fish on all the time So people say, some say, if it hadn't been the storm, Peter wouldn't have been thinking at all, say for the storm. But before the storm, Peter couldn't walk on his clean water anyway. He wanted the storm for the fear. When he was walking on the water, what was he doing? He was walking, I recall it, he was walking on the word. You see? He was walking on the word of God. What was he on? Calm. He doesn't say calm. That's what made him to be able to walk on the water. Not because of anything else. So when he gets his eye off the word, meaning the Lord Jesus, begin to think. So the same thing today, when God didn't get their eyes off the Lord, God's word, then failure begins to occur. So he was walking on the word of God. Jesus said, come. And that's what he was walking on. You see? So how powerful God's word is. We spent a lot of time last week about the word of God, right? How powerful, and infallible God's word is at all. It was really, if we really dare to believe God's word, not water or anything else around us, He will uphold us, no matter what we are facing. If we dare to hold to that word, God's word, and God's word alone, it will uphold us under any condition, under any situation. If the word is infallible, it's probably a yea and amen. I don't want to repeat last week's sermon, right? So his word, the integrity of God's word, and it's infallible. Now, Peter was walking on the stormy water, going toward the Lord Jesus. The exhilaration of the moment begins to fade as he sees those big waves crashing around him. In verse 30 of Matthew 14, but when he saw the wave boisterous, he was afraid. He first saw it in his mind, before he even saw it with his natural eye, really, Everything was alright as long as he was looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are told in Hebrews 12:2 that don't keep your eyes off of him. In your struggles in this life, your walk in this life, keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, even what are mean people too. Revelation 17 says so. Isaiah 17 says so. What are the different people? Both in Revelation 17, Isaiah 17, I don't know the verse, I don't know, keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we notice how quickly fear defeats faith. If you allow fear, it will quickly defeat your faith. You know? So that's what you see in Peter's situation, and that, you know, how quickly, how his fear defeated his faith, and so on that, you know. So anyway, so we should be very careful. You know, fear can defeat faith. So, and we should be mindful and let our faith defeat fear. Faith will defeat fear, but don't let fear defeat your faith. So anyway, so we see what happened to him right there. Now, we know that how the Lord grabbed him. We don't know how long or how far. People will think, oh, the Lord is so far away. I don't know how many feet or how many yards the Lord is from Peter or that water. But we say he stretched forth his hand, right, and grabbed him. Maybe it is 5 feet. Maybe it's 10 feet. Maybe it's a half a mile. I don't know. Or maybe the Lord was supernatural transported to go and meet him right there at the spot. We don't know. Anyway, but the Lord was there right on time, you know, to deliver him and some that, you know. So the Lord is not too far away from you in your trial and in your trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. The psalmist said, you know. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him. Peter called, said, Lord save me. Praise God. And the Lord was right there. No matter what you think in our mind, he is just a very present help in trouble. As we call upon him, he'll be right there to help us. So we see right there. A miracle happened. Of course, when they come into the ship, Bible said the wind ceased, and they worship him and say, you are the Son of God. Now let's read more scripture here in Isaiah 54, verse 14. In righteousness shall thou be established, the Bible says, thou shalt be far from oppression. Talking about deliverance from fear, right? For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Let me read it again. Isaiah 54, verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror it shall not come nigh unto thee. So, man lost his established relationship with God through things, as we saw in the beginning. But God said that we will be established in righteousness, you know, with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. I want to repeat that and show that, you know. Not leaving next door to oppression, no. Or having the victory only half the week, or just last month, or any time in the past. No. You can have the victory all the time. See? No. So you see? So, far from oppression, and so that, you know, not just for 1 week, not just for last month, or last day and so on. No. All the time through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so, and sickness or physical oppression can find no place to lodge where righteousness is present and fear is cast out. You know, fear is underlying many, many, many things that happen to man. I can't even cover all that he does. Fear is a root of oppression. Fear can cause oppression. For Bible says, for you shall be far from oppression, right? So it means fear can cause oppression. It's the root of oppression. Bible says you're going to be far from oppression. So Bible promised us that. Well, for is a conjunction. Isn't it? A conjunctive adverb that can be translated as because. So you can say because, you know, because of, you have oppression because of fear. Fear causes oppression, right? So we should not be oppressed by fear or anything like that at all. Now, let's begin to wrap this up, you know, just to see how we can be delivered from fear in so many ways. In John 14:27, the Lord says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I mean, that is a wonderful and powerful scripture you can use under any circumstances, no matter what, you know. Say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We are told in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth, you know, at least all kind of fear at the beginning of the message, all kind of fear, right? There was a fear of man. They call it something phobia there. Bible named the same thing, that the fear of man here also. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So why you fear man, you know, any man at all? You know, we respect the law of man when the government makes law that is not according to the word of God. We obey, as Peter said we should do. But to be afraid of a man, Bible says it's a snare. And then we are told in Isaiah 51 about that, verse 12. I am he that comforted you even this morning, comforted you this morning to be free from fear, comforted you. Who are thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, we shall be made as a grass? And forgetteth the Lord thy God, or sorry, the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens, look at his mighty power now, and laid the foundation of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. Many Christians are like that. They just fear continually, you know, because of the events around them. Bible says it shouldn't be so. And as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Where the Lord is present with you? If God be with you, who can be against you? See? So be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. So the fear of a man being a snare, and the Lord said, you so much fear man. No, I listed all those phobias. There is one they didn't list. How by day phobia, fear of God. They don't have that one today. You see? They don't have the fear of God, right? They have fear for every other thing in the whole wide world. They don't have, we call it a day phobia, the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom. They don't have that in the world. Satan casts those phobias right here, you know. You don't have the one for God, right? The only fear that a man should have is the fear of the Lord. That was missing out and so forth, you know, in their youth and catalog and so forth. Isaiah 41 to study this morning. Isaiah 41 verse 10. You can take it with you anywhere you go. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I don't care what the situation around you may be. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, assuring your heart. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Then, starting verse says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, say unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. That's good for every day of your life. Amen? Until the coming of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any situation, any condition, you can apply to it, it will never fail. God, the integrity of God's word, the infallibility of God's word, take it to any situation as it may land you. It will work for you. It is God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word that has delivered us from the bondage of fear. Bible calls it bondage, spirit of bondage. So we have been delivered from it. Bible says, fear has torment. Perfect love casteth out fear. Lord, so let us be bold in the Lord Jesus Christ and to go after the things the Lord wants us to do fearlessly, boldly, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is our righteousness. And we know once in a while, you know, this kind of, you know, it comes around us and so forth. We can do what the Lord says to do, rebuke it, it's a spirit really, rebuke it, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, he said that. Receive the devil, and he will flee from you. So this morning, if there be any kind of a thing, make us to be careful in this life as we pray right now, we command that spirit to leave, in Jesus' name. Amen. Get it behind us in the name of Jesus, sir. And we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. In the name of the Lord. Lord, the Lord Jesus is the strength of our life. He is our righteousness. He is our wisdom. He delivered unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We are the children of the living God. Lord, all things have since passed away. We are children of the kingdom of God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And thanks be unto God, our Father, who has made us to be meet, Lord, to a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. We are children of light in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever we go, we carry the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning, Lord. We know we are free from fear and the bondage of it. Lord, thank you, Father, for delivering us. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.